Sunday night, Arla Zion Teves, Women Shir and Shar HaBechina, Chavis HaLovas. So we'll start Perek Beis. Perek Beis and Shar HaBechina, Sefer Chavis HaLovas. And so Perek Aleph essentially explained what Bechina is, what it's for, its purpose. I don't want to say it over quickly because then I get off on a tangent and then I explain it. And okay. So you're supposed to look at the Bria and see Hashem. I was reading, you know, about Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu really used Bechina, Shara Bechina, to get to Hashem. It doesn't say in the Rambam he was engrossed in philosophical. It says he looked at the Bria. So that supports what the Chavis HaLovas is saying, that Bechina is, I mean, he says he's writing it as a way to see Hashem. Perek Beis, Achim Anu Chayovim Livchon Bebruim Imlo. Okay, it's a good thing, it's nice, it's important. Do you have to do it? It's an obligation. Maybe it's only for tzaddikim, maybe it's only for a select few. So he says no. No mar, it's an absolute obligation. Ki habachino bebruim, examining creation, examining the things that Hashem created. That's what Bechina is. V'havos raya mehem, and showing from that, bringing proof from that, l'chochmas haboris barach, seeing Hashem's wisdom, and to that I'll add Hashem's kindliness and Hashem's beneficence, and ultimately Hashem, because when you see design and complexity and perfection, the general mahalach of the Bria's perfection. Not everything is perfect. You have people born without arms and without legs too. It doesn't mean that. We know that having arms and legs is a complete human being. But adarav, you know, the exceptions prove the rule. Look how many people do have arms and do have legs, and they work. And if you see someone like that, you should use that person to appreciate that you do have. And so to see the chachman is beneficence, and to see Hashem. Ultimately, it's to see Hashem and to feel gratitude towards Him. Anu chayovim ba, it's an obligation. Min hamuskol umin hakosuv umin hakabolov. That's the tripod of the Chavis HaLovas that he talks about in the Hagdama. That you have logic, rational thought, intellectual rational thought, the psukim and the Torah shebiksav, umin hakabolah is Torah shebaal peh. That's how he likes to prove things. He said in the Hagdama, that's how he's going to structure his sefer, proving things. And before we go on, you know, if you look at a chinuch, for example, in the mitzvah of believing in Hashem, or in the Rambam, the different lashonos in the Rambam, you see that a person is supposed to move on the spectrum from belief to something called knowledge. It's a continuum. It's not... Right, belief in Hashem is simple belief, we'll call it, but you're supposed to grow. The Chinuch talks about a growth process. We're really talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. He says in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, mitzvah Chaf Aleph, and in the mitzvah of belief in Hashem, which is mitzvah Chaf Dalet, I believe, or Chaf Hei maybe, he describes a growth process where you start off, you know, believing, and you think about, he talks about thinking about Yetzias Mitzrayim and how fundamental it is, because there they saw Hashem, because the laws of nature were suspended and the greatest of miracles happened. And it shows you that Hashem, first of all, exists, and that he created the world, because the premise is that if the world was always there, so to speak, Chassid Shalom, then the laws of nature would be immutable, and you wouldn't be able to change it. But because he created them, so he's the master of them, and he controls those laws itself. And they saw that he cares about people, and that he's involved in the world. Like it's Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim saga brought out. I once said a drasha where I showed it really brings out all the 13 Ani Ma'amins. The story of the events in Mitzrayim show the basic faith of the Jewish people, and that's the lessons they derived from it before they went out of Mitzrayim. Anyway, the Chinuch describes a growth process from simple belief to knowledge, and that's really what the Chovos Halevavos is talking about. This obligation to do Bechina is the obligation to develop. He's going to bring proof from this tripod of rational thought and psukim and the Torah Shebaal Peh, that a person is supposed to examine the Bria and grow in their conviction that Hashem exists and that Hashem is there, and Hashem created all this for us to benefit from and to do something with it. It has a purpose and a plan and a design, etc. He's going to prove, it's a very interesting parak. Most of the parak is Maimori Chazal and Psukim. Even when he talks about it being logical, you'll see in a moment he quotes Psukim. He says something that I go off on a tangent a little, but it's really, I think in my lifetime, this has become a problem. Maybe it always was a problem, I don't know. And that is, what he talks about here is that people should think. That people should think. And that sounds like, but we don't. With the cell phones and the iPods and the, really, you don't think. I'm going to say it. I read a letter in Bina. I'm not supposed to be reading letters in Bina, but I do. No, you see, someone wrote a very. I read it to my wife. I said it. She hit a. I don't even know if it's. Oh yeah, I guess it's a she, because she talked about you. She's washing dishes. I know it's chauvinistic of me to assume it's a she, but it says name withheld upon request. No, she said a very telling, very good point. It really. She started off talking about how she got rid of the internet in the house. After reading, then they had a series of articles about the internet dangers, so she got rid of the internet. She said that she never really. She had it with a white filter. A white filter means you tell them where you. They don't black out. You tell them where you want to go, and they check it out, and they say, okay, it's okay to go there. And you give them a list, and then you can only go to those sites that you've chosen. I want to go to Citibank.com, and I want to go to Mizrahi Tvachot, and I want to go to New York Times, and the New York Times you can't go to. And maybe they'll say, whatever. So she says, so she had it with a white filter, but now she... So what she uses for, she says, I'm saying over what she said because she's making a good point. And that's the point I want to make here in Chovos Halevavos. And to say that she said she downloaded hundreds of shiurim. You can download now. You go to Masas Mordechai, they have the machine there called Aloshin. You download the MP3, you download shiurim. They have it all over. It's a Mir Brachfeld, my son tells me, has such a machine. You download, because it's thousands and thousands of shiurim on Kol HaLoshon, and they have it in the yeshiva for free. Free? I'll take two.
It's internet?
No. It's from Kol HaLoshon. It's on the phone. No, that you can download, nothing to do with the internet. That you can download Shiurim onto your MP3. It's like a machine. It's like a machine. They have it in Mir Brachfeld, my son told me. Thousands and thousands of Shiurim. Anyway, she used the internet to download Shiurim. So she writes, Taka made washing dishes, you know. She admits, first of all, she's heard thousands of Torah insights. And it certainly made, you know, she admits, she said, you know, it made it easier to trudge over to the sink and wash dishes or clean up. Because, you know. But she said she realized that what did she used to do? She says, she used to think. She used to think about her day. She used to think about Hashem. She used to talk to Hashem. And now she's like listening. So she's talking, hearing thousands of shiurim, but her mind, she feels, her mind has stopped working. Like, because I see it in men, I see it like, they have all these parsha sheets, and all these thousands, millions probably, of insights onto the parsha. And you end up, it's like mass media. You just store the information, and people don't, like, you see people don't want to be in silence anymore. They don't want to be, you go in a car, like, you have to make the radio, you walk in the street, you have to have the iPod. People have really lost the ability to, they don't want to think. And it studies all over the show, it has to do with Sesame Street. Television, Sesame Street, that really the whole generation grew up with images instead of thinking, instead of reading. The whole television, the whole Sesame Street experience, there are studies, I'm not making this up, the whole experience is a whole different experience. Someone told me, I don't know anything about computers, that Windows versus Apple is that same difference. Like, Windows is like images and pictures, like Sesame Street, and when you use an Apple you have to think. I'm just saying over what someone told me. Anybody computer savvy here? I know everybody, Berkowitz only has an Apple. He likes the Apple better than that. Anyway, so it's so interesting to me. People don't think anymore, really. Because if you think about that's what this lady was saying, when you think about your last thought, because we're surrounded always by either music, right? I'm walking around with something that has like 2,000 songs on it, and I'm either listening to music or I'm listening to a shiur, but so when do you have time to think? And this is what the Chavis Haldol, this half of what he's saying, the other half is what you're thinking about. You're thinking about the Bria. You're supposed to observe the Bria and think about it. And this is an obligation. And the reason it's an obligation is because you're growing in your Emunah. Not stam, obligation. It's not an obligation to be a natural scientist. The obligation is there because you're discovering Hashem more. You're discovering his reality, his existence, his beneficence, his wisdom, his complexity, his kindness. You're seeing, and you're appreciating him more. You're appreciating him more. The billions of things going on in your body at one time, it's mind-boggling. So I'm learning now with the man, I'm up to Shach Cheshbon HaNefesh, and really he makes the same point with Shach Cheshbon HaNefesh. Think, like IBM, you know, IBM used to give out little pads, think pads. And people don't use their minds anymore. First of all, they want images instead of thinking. And b'chlal, we say by Minchan Shabbos, Menucha Shalom B'Shalvo, Hashkeit Voveta, Hashkeit. So you could sit and be quiet. You go for a walk. Really, Rav Abba, my Rosh Hashiva, used to go for walks always. He was a big walker. He used to think. He always thought. We were a little nervous when he came back from a walk. nervous, like he was. And he swung his arms very vigorously. He had like this whole thing, how you're supposed to walk. And he would swing his arms back and forth like a wide arc. He would swing his arms, and he had special shoes. But he thought, and now you when you see people like power walking or jogging, they're with the thing in their ears. They're not thinking. That's a very good point. I like the point. I read it to my wife. I said, you know, because this is already good stuff. This is already shiurim, but you just keep hearing them one after another. And you don't have time to think. Well, okay, and when do you think about it?
There's no time.
No time. I'm listening to another shiur.
Stop class and go and think right now.
What?
We're listening to another share.
And go home and think. It's your choice. I'm not forcing anyone to come. So half of what he said is that, to think. As we learn the parable, we'll see. Half his point is to use your power of intellectual or rational thought that Hashem gave you, and the other half is, that's what he's talking about in Shaar HaBechina, to use it to, I mean, you could use it for a lot of things. He wants you to use it to think about, to examine the Bria, and if you don't know what to think about, so you maybe should go to a library and look it up, and then look again at the flower or at the sunset or at your kidneys or at your spleen, and like you see this. Nowadays, it's just totally overwhelming. There's so much. And you see the complexity. Like, what did I just read somewhere? I just read that the sun gives enough energy to the earth every few minutes to power everything that goes on in the earth for a year. Every few minutes, there's enough solar energy. The sun gives off enough energy to power everything that goes on on Earth. You don't need oil, you don't need gears, you know. But we don't know how to convert it. We don't know how to capture solar energy and convert it. And the one process that does it is photosynthesis. Mm-hmm. That's the only process, and the scientists are working, they say, on creating an artificial flower, I think. An artificial leaf that will mimic the leaf in converting solar energy into power, because so much, you know, the first bracha of Birchas Kriyat Shema is the sun, and like, as Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zatzal points out so many times, it's the longest bracha that we have, because it's all one bracha. It's not like Hallel. We have a bracha beforehand and a bracha afterwards. This is like one long bracha. Like Asher Yatzar starts Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, and then you say a paragraph, and then you end up Baruch Atah Hashem Baruch Atah Mafli La'asol. So a kiddush. You start Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Baruch Bana Mikolam, Asher Baruch Bana Mikolam, and Baruch Atah Hashem Kadosh Shabbos. That's called one long bracha. Hallel is two brachas, a bracha before Hallel and a bracha after Hallel. So when if you say the first bracha of Kriyat Shema, you could make the mistake of thinking there's a bracha before it and a bracha afterward. No, this is one single bracha. And it starts over, Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Yetzer Hara Shechel Zishon V'Yitzhakol Ameilos, and a long, 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 long paragraph. And it ends up, Baruch Hashem Yetzer Hamiros. That's the end of the bracha. And it's by far the longest bracha that we have. And he says, like, because the Maoros, the sun, it's so much, we don't even, it's so much, it's energy, it's warmth, it's life. It's no wonder that they worship the sun. No namish, no wonder. Like, the sun is the closest thing we have to Hashem that we could see and feel and experience, mamish, because it's giving off energy and light and warmth, you know, and it puts you in a good mood. A sunny day, it's uncanny, right? A sunny day puts everybody in a good mood, and a cloudy day you feel down. Okay, so let's learn. Ki haseichel meyed. So first, min hamuskel. His first point, and he always puts it first, is the power of rational thought. It's logical that you're obligated to do this. It's logical. Why? Ki haseichel meyed. Because maybe it becomes like a vicious circle. Your power of rational thought. Your seichel tells you, why are we better than animals? What do we have over animals? Is our seichel. Ki haseichel meyed she yisron hamadaber al she'eno medaber. It's not the speech per se, but it's seichel. It's the power of rational thought. That we have thoughts. We have a logical thought process. We can invent things, we could solve problems, we could be aware of problems. We could. I think animals could be aware of problems too, but it's a different, it's not seichel. It's not seichel working. Ki haseichel meyed she yisron hamadabur al sheinu medabur rak bavur yisron hakaroso. Awareness, you know, these. The medaber sees something and is aware that there's more to this than meets the eye. There's something involved here. It's complex, not simple. Like you have a thought process that categorizes it and defines it. You think about it. You realize what it is. The havanoso, the kibulo da'as sode hachochma, knowledge of all sorts of areas of knowledge. Hamukuyamim b'chol ha'olam, which essentially spread throughout the world, you know, all the areas of knowledge, whether it's math or physics or chemistry or geology or astronomy. Kemo shomer akosuv milifno mi bahamos aretz. We milafenu, Hashem teaches us chokhma more than the animals. Umeof hashemayim yichakmenu. So Hashem gave us seichel. He gave us his great gift, and this is how we're different than animals. The ability to do what he just described. So when you use your seichel and you think about, you know, the vast amounts of seichel, the complexities of the Bria. And you see it in the Bria. You see math in the Bria. You see order in the Bria. You see complexity in the Bria. You see the interaction between different forces in the Bria. You know, how the sun works together with the wind and the soil and water and rain, and it all works together. So you're supposed to be aware of this and think about it. Yeh yisrono ala behema kafi abonoso. He says, the more seichel you develop, the more you develop your seichel, the more you do it, your seichel, the more you're distancing yourself from the animals, the more human you are. The difference between a human and an animal is seichel, so the more you develop your seichel by examining the Bria and asking questions, like why do some fruits and vegetables have hard shells and some don't, and why... Ask, like, find out. How did that get there? How did that seed get there? How did that honey get there? How did the bees know to take the nectar? Ask questions, think about it. You're expanding your seichel. The more you expand your seichel, the more the more human you are, the more you're moving away from an animal. The more you're developing as a human being, the more you're reaching your potential as a human being. That's what he's saying. Yeh yisrono ala behema kafi avonoso. Vim yisale mehem, but if you ignore your ability to discover what the world's all about by examining the Bria, lo yeh doma la behema, ach yose garua mimenu. Don't think, okay, so I won't be like a person, I'll be like an animal. Of course, it's not true. You're going to be worse than an animal, because if you have the ability and you don't use it, if you have the potential and you don't use it, this is something you see throughout the Bria. A plant that doesn't grow, he points this out, I think we had it, it's later in the Sefer, in Shara Avodas Elokim. A plant that doesn't grow doesn't become a domain. It withers away and it becomes nothing. It loses what it is. You don't go down to the next Madrega. You have no right to say, okay, so I won't be Jewish, so I'll be a human being. Or, so I won't have the mile of a human being, I'll be like an animal, I'll live like an animal. You don't have that option. Anything that's in a higher level of Bria, if it loses its quality, goes down, it sinks, it becomes nothing, you end up with nothing. The flower withers, you have nothing. The Jew that's chote, doesn't have the option of being like a non-Jew, he becomes worse. So that's what he says here. K'mashomer akosuv, and then the pasuk compares a person that doesn't see Hashem and appreciate Hashem through the Bria. The pasuk compares him unfavorably to an animal. Yoda shor koneu, says the Navi. B'chamor evuz ba'olav, but Yisrael lo yoda amilo hisbonon. Okay, so that's the first leg of the tripod. That you have an obligation to develop your seichel, and that's logical, because that's what differentiates man from animal, and you want to grow as a human being and reach your potential as a human being, so you're going to develop your seichel. So you're mechuyev to develop your seichel. So you have to think about these things and develop, as I say, develop as a human being and develop awareness of Hashem, etc. Yes.
So you're saying we're obligated to develop a cycle, like a plant has to grow. It's almost like
the same. Yeah, that is exactly what he's saying. Every level in the Bria has to, except the plant doesn't have Bechira. That's
right.
The difference.
So
the plant doesn't have choice, but we have to do it. We have to choose to do it. And it's also, and since it is intellectual, it's not only the Bechira angle, but we have to, our minds have to always be working. It's something we always have to do. It's not just the choice to do it. We can't then sit back and be a flower and grow. Okay? They once tried with headphones at night to listen to tapes, and the seichel is just going to go into your head overnight. It doesn't work. I think the students cramp the test sometimes that way. They cram for tests. They put on a thing. They just wake up with a headache. That's all. Okay, so that's. But this creates an obligation. That's the chiddush of the Chavis Halavos. This logical thought is an obligation. Umenakosuv. Now he's up to the second leg of the tripod. It's beferish of psukim. The psukim and Tanakh say you mechuyev to do this. For example, su'u moro meinechem u'ru'u mibora ele. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to, but you have to think about it. You have to contemplate it. V'omar pasuk in Tehillim, kire shamecha ma'asei etzpa osecha yoreach v'chochavim asher konanto. And then the pasuk goes on to say, you sit back and you think about Hashem. Another pasuk, halo teidu, halo sishmu, halo hugad meirosh lachem, halo habinosem mosdol sa'aretz. You think about how life started, right? Once you think about how life started, so you start thinking about the purpose of life and why Hashem made life. What was the purpose? So you start to say, life has a purpose. And again, when you're thinking, your thoughts lead you to all sorts of places. And you discover new depths within yourself. You discover new insights. That's the beauty of the human mind. The Omar, another pasuk, Hacherishim Shmo'u, the Novi says, you deaf people, listen, V'Ivrim Habitu Liros, and you blind ones, remember the marshal of the blind people in the factory, in the hospital.
Hospital.
In the hospital. Right? You blind people, come and look, observe. If you don't utilize your mind, you're like a deaf person refusing to hear a blind person, a deaf person who could hear. You know, you're deaf, you're acting deaf, but you're not deaf. You're acting blind, but you're not blind. Okay, the Omer. Now the next pasuk. Interesting. He's just proving the chiyuv to think. Tov lo lechas al beis eib ovel milechas al beis mishta b'asher sov kol adam v'hachai yitin alibo, and the chai will think about it. Say, wait a second. I went to a beis ovel. I went to a beis mishta. Let me compare the experiences. What did I gain out of each one? What did I learn from each one? And you're better off going to a beis ovel. Because v'chai yitin alibo, because you're supposed to be thinking about what you're doing, and so you'll reach an obvious conclusion that there's a purpose to life. Otherwise, it seems to be rather purposeless, right? V'omer achachom einu b'rosho v'aksil b'choshech olech. Again, the pasuk just indicates that a ksil is in the choshech, a fool is in the dark. And the Chacham is always using his Inayim, his Rosh, he's looking, he's observing, he's seeing. The Omar v'orech tzadikim k'or noga holech v'or anochon hayom v'derech hishom kafeilu lo yeda b'mei koshelu. So the Rosh is considered to be b'choshech, and he doesn't see where he's going. And the Chacham Ornoga, you know, the Ornoga is in the morning. It slowly, slowly gets lighter and lighter and lighter. So a person also with a seichel, we don't expect anyone to burst forth an Einstein. You know, it's a development process. Okay, Umin Amukubal, and now we go to Chazal. So we learned the obligation to think is logical, and the obligation to think is Beferish of Psukim. Now we go to Hamakubul, Mashomu Zuchonim Levracha. Very Kolayodea Lachsha B'Tekufos of Mazolos. If you know astronomy and you're able to do the Cheshbonos, that would tell us when Rosh Chodesh is and tell us when you do two Adars. Beinu Mechashe, but you don't do it. You have the ability to do it, but you don't. Olava Kosev Oimer, V'Hoya Kinar, V'Nevel, Tol, V'Cholol, V'Yayin, Mishteyem, Zos. You're not interested in Hashem's handiwork. You're interested in partying away the day, having parties, and you're not looking what's going on around you. Asher lo amim. Yeah, asher shomu es kol achukim o'eva. Ezu ichoch mobinu shein le'enei ha'amim. Hevi yoyim ez cheshmon tkufas ha'mazolos. So it shows it's a vehicle for Kiddush Hashem. For Amru have a mechashiv hefsed mitzvah connected schorus charavera connected hefseda. Now, why did he bring in this Mishnah novels? What's the point here? Only to think. Have a mechashiv. That's the whole reason he put it in. You have to think. You're going to do an avera. Think. Is it worth it? Think what you're giving up. Think what you're gaining. Make a cheshbon. Don't just do things mindlessly. So he's saying that Chazal said that. By saying, indeed, having mechashim hefsed mitzvah connected, hefsed mitzvah connected tzchar v'tzchar aveir connected seina. For Amru ilmoli nitnatarli Yisrael, there's a famous memra, we all know it, but did we ever stop and think what it means? It means you're supposed to think. Because how would you learn out tzaniyus mechasul, varayos miyona, the derech eretz mitarnagol, the Gezel, Minamala, right, we would learn out all these things. We would extrapolate from observing the animal kingdom, because we see these midas exhibited. But you're not going to get there if you don't think. When you go to a zoo, you say, I don't want to think, I want to go to a zoo, I want to just enjoy myself. It's true, that's nowadays, that's all we want to do. We're so busy that everybody has to relax. How do you relax? You take music. Okay, that's... So this list is Sneas, Mechosel, Marais, Miyun, Derechais, Mitana, Gol, Gezel, Menomolo, Chayek, Varez, Boer, Chiyuv, HaBechino, Bebruim, V'Havos, Harayos, Misimone, HaChochma, V'yato, Dalucha. Whoa, go to Dalucha. Go do it. Go get to work. Go get to work. So he said, okay, it's a very short, powerful parak. He says, I want you to use your mind, I want you to think about things, and you have to. And it's logical, so you have to use your mind to think about why you have to use your mind. And it's psukim, and it's Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay, I'd like to stop now. I see I'm... it's not fear. Okay, Perigimel. Let's see how much I could. Ach echel fani habechina bebruim. Now Perigimel, he starts teaching you how to do it. And he mamish makes analysis here of what to think about. It's like very analytical. Nemar ki habechina, nomar. Ki habechina bebruim, hi ha'iyun bepinos ha'olam. You examine and you look at and you examine and you think about and you study the elements of the world, the elements. According to the Mepharshim here, we're going in his days. They thought there were four elements, right? The basic elements was fire, water, earth, and wind. The Toldosehen Hamuchuboros Mehen, right? And what happens when they're combined? Maybe you could. How do you get water? Water is like a very amazing thing. I once read H2O, the H2O molecule is like amazing. Know anybody here have any knowledge of this stuff? It's like supposed to be a big chiddush, like that H2O exists.
Doesn't obey the rules.
Yeah, that's true. That doesn't follow the rules of other liquid. Things like it expands when it gets cold. Anyway, study the elements, study what happens when they're combined. Upetchunas chelke kol murkov. I mean, he's giving you a list of scientific analytical thought. Study the thing, study what happens when they're combined with other things. Study their components. Study the components of every combination. Upetchunas chelke kol murkov. Murkov is something that's put together. So study its ingredients, study its components. Study the components. Ufani toalto. Study why this thing is here. What's it here for? You come, you're in a company, you see a machine, you know, so what is it doing here? What is its purpose? The simoni hachochma bebriyaso. And study how Hashem's wisdom is manifest in whatever it is you're looking at. You're looking at the Bria. Study the elements. Study what happens when you combine them. Study the quality of its components. Study its functions, what it's used for, what it accomplishes. And study the Simoni HaChochma Bibriyaso, the wisdom exhibited in creating such a thing, uvamaskunoso, and in its content, udmuso, the way it looks, the takonoso, the iloso hatmimo, asher lo nivro, the basic function for which it was created. But you're not finished thinking, even though I just took up the next 20 years. He says, and look at it and think of the ruchniyus connection. Everything in this world has has some sort of ruchni existence, right? Maybe it represents a concept. Maybe it's just right, it's connected with a chain, and Lamala it exists as one of the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of malachim that praise Hashem. So everything's connected to Lamala, he's saying. And realize that. Study Hakaras Ruchnius Ha'olam Hazeh. The Gashmusol. Study the Ruchnius of this world. It's like the body and the soul. It's like the guf and the neshama. The world has a neshama. Try to capture it. Try to think about it. Look at really the way you're going to do that is by studying the dinim. That's going to capture the ruchnius of an object.
Can you explain that?
What did I just say? No, which words?
Dinim.
The whole idea of the world having a neshama and trying to capture it, I don't know.
Okay, the table. Realize that if a table is a thing, it's a noun, it's a table, and it has a function, and you put things on it, so it has a ruchniistic counterpart in Shemayim. There's something, a table, like a great example, because there was even a table in the Beis HaMikdash, which means like, wow, there's really, a table is something in the Bria. So you could try to capture what it is. You have to have a philosophical mind, an analytical mind. For example, we talk about Hashem's Kisei. Maybe that would have been a better example, because that we're all familiar with, the Kisei, the covenant of Hashem. Now, obviously, there's no Kisei, right? No Kisei in Shemaiah. Hashem sits on it. It's absurd. It's beyond absurd. So the Malbim tries to capture what a Kisei is. It's the din kavua. It's when Hashem is arranging a system to run the world, and it's a system because kisei represents kvius. You're sitting down in one place. You're not walking around, changing places. So when Hashem sits on his kisei, it means he's ready to be menaig the world in a certain set pattern. That's a Malbim. Just one small example out of many. The Maral, you'll always find what things represent, but you see the thing that the fact that some words are zachar and some words are nekeva is not just a grammatical convenience or grammatical inconvenience. Their roots in Shemayim are either as mashpiyim or mushpoim, Shemayim the oretz, right? So that's zachar and nekeva. The Zohar being the Mashpia, the Nekeva being the Makabelas, in a certain way. So we see this as the final physical manifestation of a very sublime concept that's in Shemayim. And you might ask me now, what about if a person invented something? Let's say a person invented, ich weiß, I don't know, a shoehorn. The person invented a shoehorn. So does the shoehorn have a counterpart in Shemayim? I don't know the answer. When a person invents something, so of course Hashem led him to invent something, but it's like there are 70 primary umos, 70 nations, right? And they each have a sar in Shemayim, which means they each have a koach ruchni to play in the universe, and they each have a ruchni stick of color. Now there's only 70. The fact that when you go to the United Nations, there's 140 flags, whatever it is, it doesn't, right? We know that there's only, so I don't know if everything a person invents is going to have a counterpart in Shemayim. Its components will. I guess it depends on how primary a thing he invented, right?
Cell phone is a good example.
I don't know if it's anything more than putting together technology that always was. I don't know if the cell phone. Yeah,
it also shows that you can communicate without wires and without
being. Yeah, okay, that's another thing. Anyway, but just the question is, I don't know. Just like I know there are 70 nations and not more with their counterparts in Shemayim. So I don't know about things. Let's say I could talk about a table and a chair. But when it starts getting more Murkov, more just slapped together, you put together things, then I simply don't know.
You
know.
It could be subsets of things.
I don't know. If you know, fine. I'm very happy if you tell me.
I don't see how, me personally, for example, could think of the spiritual counterparts of things. I mean, that just seems beyond.
You can now.
I can only learn from somebody else who's learned about it, but I don't see how I could just on my own start thinking about spiritual counterparts.
Who says that's what the Chavis HaLovos means? Let's say the Chavis HaLovos would have said that you have to study math and you have to progress from arithmetic to algebra to trigonometry and to calculus, and I don't know whatever is after calculus, if there is anything. And then someone would be sitting in the class and saying, I don't know how I'm supposed to figure out calculus. So the answer is, Shkoyach, of course today you're not holding by calculus. You're only in 11th grade. But this is a goal that you want to reach, and you're going to grow and you're going to learn. And you're gonna one day you're gonna get to calculus because you're gonna go through school and high school and learn, and you're gonna cover algebra and trigonometry and then you're gonna get to calculus and these are like of course you can't sit now and say I just gave you one small example in the Malbim of a Kisei, and you're not holding by doing it, you know, you'll. If you want to know Sforum, that talk, that language, so I would point you in the direction of Maral. Because Maral always is talking about that. And if you don't have the ability, so you can go to a teacher. All the Chavis HaLovos is doing, in my lifetime, I don't think I'm going to be able to understand the complexity of a tree. Maybe I should. I'm not saying it proudly. So, you have to choose. We have a limited amount of time. He's just, he wants you to know the whole gamut of the whole Bria is open to you. And ideally, you should look. Shlomo HaMelech knew everything there is to know. Shlomo HaMelech knew everything. The Tanoim knew everything. The Gemara gives a whole litany of the subjects that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai mastered, down to the languages and the whole Bria was open in front of them. They knew everything. They literally knew everything there is to know. So we're not expected to do that, but again, like I say in Shara Bitachon, Chavis HaLovos is a saver of ideals. He's talking about, he doesn't want to pull any punches. He doesn't want to say, okay, you have to study and know everything, but not calculus. Mm-hmm. That's too hard. Or not not quantum mechanics. You can leave off quantum, except for quantum mechanics. He doesn't want to say except anything. You have to understand everything. There's a whole Bria out there. Go learn it. What you should learn, how you should learn it, can you figure it out yourself? Do you need a Rebbe? Of course you need everybody needs a Rebbe. You need a Rebbe. And then you go ahead, hopefully, if you have a good Rebbe, you then go off on your own and you learn from the Rebbe how to do it, if it's a good Rebbe. If it's not such a good Rebbe, so it's just a storehouse of knowledge. You become like a walking encyclopedia, a walking empty three. But he just wants you to know that this area of knowledge is out there. There's a spirit, and this is where we'll pick it up, Alina, the Mitzvah Shem, next week. That especially to a believing Jew, I mean to everybody, but to a believing Jew should be aware of this. There's a spiritual component to everything in the Bria. And you want to relate to it. And things are representative, and you know, everything has a spiritual counterpart. Yeah, I mean, you'll see it the most when you find Midrashim talking about Hashem doing physical things, writing. You know, so Hashem doesn't write. So it means there's something in Ruchnius which is writing, which is making a record. Vayidabar Hashem. Hashem doesn't talk. I'm sorry. There's no sound waves. There's nothing hitting a person's eardrums. Nothing's vibrating. Hashem doesn't. Hashem talking. So the Tanya talks about when Hashem talks. So he says, talking is a sublime, talking has two components. He says something very beautiful. He explains it. He takes it apart. He says, talking is two things. You're revealing, because you're revealing your thoughts. So the spiritual counterpart of talking is revelation. So when Hashem reveals himself, he's talking, because he's revealing. Right? That's one aspect of talking, is revealing. And then it's reaching out, it's communication. It's involving someone else. What?
Connecting.
So that's talking. So, you know, when it's nishtausha lamata, we have mouths and tongues and vocal cords and ears and cockly, whatever it's called, and vibrating, and then we talk and we communicate. But that's not the concept of talking. The concept of talking is a sublime, ruchnistic ideal, and everything starts. That's what he says. The world is not only is. I know it gives you a headache. It gives me a headache. It gives everybody a headache. He said, not only is everything in the physical world so tremendously complex, and nowadays we see it more than ever before in human history. We see how utterly complex every little thing is. A cell is like unbelievably complex. And that just scratches the surface of the Bria, because that's all in Gashmius. Then you have to get to Ruchnius, that it has a Ruchniustic component. The, you know, ladies, this is the Mem Tes Sha'arei Chochma. This is Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech is the only one that, okay, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu is described as, you know, having the Mem Tes Sha'arei Chochma. But Shlomo HaMelech, HaChochma Mikol Adam, knew everything there is to know. Maybe, you know, they talk about the Gra in such hushed terms. I don't mean to jump from Shlomo HaMelech to the Gra, but I'm talking about how they tell the story in the Chachma of music and in the Chachma of you see something with the seven notes and seven, and you see the number all over. So you see it. The morale. I mean, morale talks this way.
Rabbi Akiva Tetz is very good on this.
What?
Rabbi Akiva Tetz.
Okay.
He's very good. He says everything that we have here has got a...
Okay, we'll stop here. Mm-hmm. See if we'll stop here.